We're in our next message number 3 in our study called The Prodigals, looking at Luke 15. And would you just join me in prayer? And we're just going to jump right into it today. God, we thank you so much for this opportunity we have to gather together and worship you, to listen to your word. I pray that we would be attentive to your voice and willing to apply whatever you have for us today to our hearts. Pray that you would help us just to let go of all the distractions and all the burdens and all the things that have crept up and kind of worn our hearts down so that we could just see you clearly today. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're in Luke 15, the prodigals, and we've been walking through this little by little. And today's message is called, It Should Be Right Here. It should be right here. And we're looking at just a couple of verses, the second parable that Jesus teaches. And he's teaching these parables in response to the religious leaders who were upset that Jesus was hanging out with the wrong people. He wasn't just hanging out with them. He was like eating meals with the wrong people, the sinners, the rough ones, the bad crowd, those of ill repute, the ones with all the labels on them. And these religious leaders are like, what's he doing eating with them? Their selfish mutterings reveal their selfish hearts and their entitled position. And they're like, it should just be about us. After all, we put all the time in. We're the religious folks. We know this book. We've done all the stuff. We keep showing up to church. And yet this Jesus, he's hanging out with these people. And Jesus, in response to that, teaches three parables, one about sheep. Sheep wander off. It's just part of their nature. They're kind of unaware of the risks that are out there. They're ill-equipped to defend themselves. A sheep's just a sheep. And this week, we're talking about a coin. Let me just read it to you. It says this, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors to gather together and says, rejoice with me, I've found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. I lose stuff all the time. Anybody else? Anybody else lose stuff all the time? Usually it's my wallet or my keys. Like, if you want to sum up my life, I spend an insane amount of time searching for my wallet and my keys. It doesn't matter who tries to help. My wife will always be like, Josh, just put it in the same spot every time. And I intend to, but it just never happens. And there I am again, searching for my wallet and my keys. And I just can't seem to find all these things. There was this one time I was flying out to speak at this large event, and my flight was leaving on a Friday afternoon. The kids were all off to school, and I could not find my wallet anywhere. It was getting to the point where, like, I'm tearing apart the whole house looking for this thing. I have my wife. I'm in a panic. I'm so good at being panicked. I got my wife in a panic. I got everybody surrounding me in a panic, just tearing up the house looking for my wallet. I'm like, it should be right here. This is where it should be. And if it's not right here, it should be right here. And if it's not right here, it should be right here. I ripped the whole house apart. I could not find it. And all I could think is, it has to, like, everybody goes, where's the last time you remember using it? And I'm embarrassed to admit this, but, like, we made a late night McDonald's run, you know, because we're good parents and nutrition is important and clearly I'm a model of health. But I remember going through that drive-through line and it had a garbage can. What's this tell you about our fast food habits, that they have a garbage can by the pickup window to throw out the last bag that they assume. They just assume that the last McDonald's bag is still hanging out in your car and you need to get rid of it to make room for the new McDonald's bag that you're taking. But I remember taking some trash as I was pulling up through there and throwing it out after I had paid the window into this garbage can. I thought, oh my word, I just chucked my wallet with that wad of trash into the McDonald's garbage can. And I know it sounds crazy, but I drove down to McDonald's that morning and like a lunatic, I hope they don't have the footage of it. I'm a germaphobe, so you know how hard this was for me. Also, not just McDonald's garbage in a McDonald's garbage can. Like, I'm a gag just thinking about it. I ripped out that trash, thankful that it was still there. I ripped it out, looking, tearing all this half-eaten crap out, looking for my wallet. That's how crazy it was. It wasn't in there. I race home looking for my wallet. I'm like, what are we going to do? Jen's like, I don't know. Maybe one of the kids have saw it. This is how out of hand this situation got. We were calling, my kids were young, and talking to elementary teachers at the school and going, hey, we need to talk to our kid. And they're like, oh my word, what's wrong? Is everybody okay? Yeah, Josh just lost his wallet. Like, getting our kids on the phone, like, no, I don't know where dad's, calling them out of class, right? Like, no, I don't know where dad's wallet is. Luckily, my son was like, I think I saw it on this little cabinet with a bunch of recipes in it, and there's like a hand towel like next to it. And sure enough, when we went back right there in the middle of the house, right where I had run circles around in a complete panic, my wallet was sitting there, just covered up a little bit by a hand towel. It was lost in the house. Like a sheep is lost because it wanders. The rebellious son that we're going to get to, start his story next week, that rebellious son is lost because it went, I know better about my life. I'm just going to do it my way for a while. Let's just roll the dice. Let's see how it turns out. I want to feel good. I want to do things that make me feel good. I'm tired of this father who has this idea of a life for me. Like those two scenarios, they're lost because either the sheep in its nature is a wanderer and kind of an idiot. If you can, my filter's way gone today. And the son, who's just rebellious jerk, kind of. But this one hits hard, this coin. Because the coin didn't wander off. The remote didn't tuck itself under your sofa cushions. Your keys didn't get up and walk off the counter and throw itself in between the countertop and the refrigerator all on themselves. Like, this coin parable hits different because this coin is just helpless and lost. And it's helpless and lost in the house. Not out there. Not doing bad stuff in bad places. Doing good stuff in the right place, and yet still lost. This one hits different because a coin is helpless to help itself. And this one hits different because you can be in the right place doing the right things and still be lost. So I get nervous about this kind of message. I get nervous about this kind of message because you could be the person in the right place doing the right things and still be lost. And I know this because I was that person for a really long time. This coin, it's different. It's lost, and it's so close to being right where it should be. This coin is surrounded with all the right things and all the right places, with all the right people. And yet this coin is still lost But also, this coin is still of great, great value to God. You know, I know how to lose stuff. I'm very good at it. I know how to lose stuff in your own home. I know how you lose stuff in the house. Do you know how you lose stuff in the house? God doesn't misplace us, but I know how we get misplaced. You know how you lose stuff in the house? We lose stuff because we misplace it. Because as close as we are to being in the right spot, in the right place, it's still just a little bit off. And a little bit off can make a really big difference when we're talking about lost and found things. We misplace stuff. You could be sitting here and have misplaced your dependency. Oh, you sing the songs and you hear the word, and I hope you know I'm saying all this with love because I've been there, and this is not, I'm concerned. We misplace our dependence. We know we're supposed to depend on God and that He has everything that our hearts need, but somewhere along the line, it is so easy for me to go, man, I'm doing kind of good right now. Maybe I'm doing kind of good because I've been doing kind of good. Maybe I don't need to depend on God as much because look how far I kind of made it. I'm kind of smart. I dress kind of good. By the way, how low have I set the bar on pastoral dress code that when I wear a jacket like this, everybody goes, you are so dressed up today. My shoes aren't even tied. Not that dressed up. The bar is real low. We misplace our dependence, and we start all of a sudden thinking we can depend on ourselves, our intellect, our ability to convince people, our relationship skills, and then all of a sudden it's so slight, but our dependence is misplaced. And we're a little lost. We misplace our identity. We forget that our citizenship is not of this world or with a party. It's getting hot in here. That's a terrible song of reference. We misplace our identity. And we forget that we're a citizen of heaven. And then all of a sudden we start wearing labels that are these broken systems of this world that place on us based on how well we measure up to other people or how good we are at getting stuff done and how accomplished we are. Whatever we use to judge people and say that person's good and that person's not. They made it and they didn't. And we misplace our identity and all of a sudden we're just a little lost. We misplace our security. We put it in relationships. I'm okay when this relationship's okay. And then that relationship's not okay because news alert, all relationships go through stuff. And then we're like, what happened? Man, they were my heart. They had my soul. They were my everything. And now I'm a little lost. We misplace our trust. And instead of trusting in our Creator, the God of the universe, who loves us unconditionally, though He knows every worst part of us, we place our trust in people and things and all kinds of nonsense. And then, though we are in the right house, in the right place, singing the right songs, listening to the Word, we're a little lost. It's crazy when you think about this passage and this story being told to religious people who thought they were right with God because they were in the right place and doing the right things. And being in the right place and doing the right things does not make you right with God. Going to church, I'm glad you're here. It's weird when you're not. It's a good thing, but it doesn't make you right with God. Memorizing this, knowing it, reading it, having it on a Bible app, getting devotionals every morning, it's a really good thing, but it doesn't make you right with God. You can be in the house and still be lost. Following all the rules, Jesus' audience were following 613 plus rules. They had them all memorized. They knew what they were. These were like super religious morality nerds. That's how good they were. They were so good that they tithed money to the temple. They tithed spices. They're like, how many spices did we get at the grocery store today, honey? And honey's like, I don't know. We got like half a pound of cumin. Is that even a thing? And would you get it in that pound measurements? Probably not. But like, you know what I mean? They're like, well, let's take a tenth of that half a pound and give it to the temple. By the way, if you bring your spices here, I'm not going to be happy with you. That's how good these people were at following the rules. But following the rules and being religious does not make you right with God. There's only one thing. There's only one way to be in the house and not be lost. And his name is Jesus. Coins are helpless. You can't, they're not going to unlose themselves, unlost themselves, whatever. They're helpless. Romans 5:6 says, at the right time, when we were utterly helpless, Jesus came and died for us sinners. He came for you. That's this parable. Tore the house apart for you, showed up for you, moved heaven and earth for you. He came for you and sacrificed his life for you so that you could be made right with God by grace and through faith, and that's it. It's just what he did for you on your behalf. That's it. You know what's interesting about this coin story is that this was not how we treat change. This is not a result of how we treat change. I'm guessing that most of you probably have a place in your car where change ends up. Do you have a place like that? Like, we take our change and we're like, I don't want to be bothered with this change. And then we put it in a place of our car until we have to clean it out. I've had cars that I have not touched the change space until I've traded it in and been forced to, right? Like, clean that nonsense out. Like, we take our change and we just don't really, it's not like that. Some of you won't even take change. You're like, you go to these sporting events with the booster clubs running these like concession stands. You know what I'm talking about? You've been to a sports concession stand and you buy something and they want to give you change. You're like, no, keep it. It's for the kids. You just don't want to carry it around in your pocket. This is not that. This is not like talking about quarters and coins. What's so interesting about this passage is that this woman in this passage who is tearing her house apart looking for this one coin is a beautiful picture of God's heart for us, which is also controversial and crazy that he would tell this story to these religious people who thought about this much of women. I love that Jesus just flips the culture on his head, but he also shows part of the heart of God in this story. And what's so interesting about this story, about this woman who Jesus uses as this example, searching for this lost coin, is that she would have had 10 of these coins, because these coins, in their cultural context, the audience would have immediately known that these coins were part of her dowry. Do you know what a dowry is? Like, what she was given, her part of her family's fortune that she would take with her into marriage. They were so weird about this stuff that they would take these coins and they would sew them into headdresses. Like, they would wear them as hats
Or if they didn't do that, they would put them into necklaces. And the women were proud. This was a proud thing. This was a powerful, proud identity, security, who I am as a woman, what I have, where I come from, and where I'm going kind of thing. This wasn't just like, oh, these are some coins I'm going to give my husband. This was her identity, her life, her future, and her past, all wrapped up into this gift given to her that she displays with pride. They'd wear these stupid hats with pride. Maybe they weren't stupid. I don't know what they looked like. Maybe they were like cool. I don't know. But she would walk around. You see, this wasn't just about coins. This was about her identity. This was about who she was. This was about her past. It was about her future. It was about her security. This was who she was. And she lost one. I don't know, it came loose. It fell out of the headdress, whatever. It was missing, lost. It wasn't where it should be. And what does God do when we're lost in the house and we aren't where we should be? I'm so thankful that God is not just about finding the lost, but He is also about restoring what was misplaced, fractured, missing. If you're lost, He wants to find you. And if you're found, He wants to restore what has been broken in your heart. The pieces of your identity that you have misplaced into lesser things, He wants to restore them. The security that has been shattered for you by a broken relationship, by losing a job, by some health crisis, whatever has stolen your security, and that stolen security that's been misplaced has resulted in a lack of peace in your life, He wants to restore your sense of security in Him and give you peace. He wants to restore what is missing and what is lost and what has shifted and what has been misplaced. He has so much for you. The seeker is incredible. First, the seeker lights a lamp. The worship team is going to come out here, and I want to wrap with just this and then a pretty incredible thing here at the end. Don't let me forget to talk about the party. The first thing that this woman does when she realizes the coin is gone, is lost, is lights a lamp. Now, this is interesting because their houses didn't have windows. Most people would have just waited until daylight. That's how they had their lights in through the door and open up the door and whatever. It was a dark. These houses that they lived in this time period, in this culture, they would have had dirt floors and they would have had no windows and there's not a lot of light. And what's crazy about this is this woman, to light oil, something we take for granted all the time. We flip a switch. We don't even read what the electric bill is most of the time, right? Like we just have it. But she lit a lamp that would have cost her a lot to burn that oil to look for this one coin. The cost of lighting the lamp probably far outweighed the cost of the coin, the value of the coin, except that the coin was just that valuable to her. Kind of like, you're that valuable to God that He lit a light of great cost in sending His Son, the light of the world, to die for you. It says in the beginning of John, about Jesus, in Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If you're lost in the house, here's what you do. Step one, You don't look to some preacher. You don't start playing religious games. It's not about the checklist or how good you can be or present yourself. It's not about how much of the Bible you memorize. It's not about buying a bunch of books and reading those books and powering up spiritually. Here's what it is. If you're lost in the house, you just look to the light. It's the first thing you see in darkness is light. And the first thing we need to see when we are misplaced, when our identity is off, our security is shattered, our dependence, the first thing is just Jesus. He is everything you need. He's done everything for you that you couldn't. He is the expression, the greatest expression of love the world has ever seen. He is God revealed to us in the flesh. Jesus is your everything. The second thing is this, and it's a far second, a second. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 105, that this is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. Might have gotten that backwards, but it says both those things in there. And sometimes all the stuff that God has given us in Jesus, the peace he's given us in Jesus, it's yours for free. It's there in abundance. His love is there for you. Nothing can separate you from it, but we don't experience it because there's like these barriers in our hearts and our minds. And I want to submit to you this. I think that your experience of all the good things God has for you is often directly correlated to your relationship with this book. Oh, it's there for you all the time, but we don't experience because we're just doing our own thing and trying to figure it out on our own. And Jesus is all the answers, and this is how we learn how to be and follow Jesus. She lights a lamp, she sweeps the house, and it would have been a dirty thing sweeping. You ever sweep dirt on a dirt floor? You just make more dirt sometimes. Like, it's a messy, stir it up kind of thing. Like, this was, she just stirred up the whole house to find that coin. And maybe you've been too comfortable. Maybe God is stirring some stuff up in your life so that you would realize your dependence on him. Like a loving father going, you just need to come back. Right here is where you belong. And I have everything you need and have been searching for. Maybe that relationship is being stirred up so that you would look to Jesus instead of a man or a woman. Maybe that job is being stirred up so that you would look to him as your supply and your source instead of cash. Maybe that your image is being stirred up so that you would realize that you aren't what other people say about you anyway. You are only and every time what God says about you. That's it. That's all that matters. I don't know what he's stirring up in your life, but I hope that you would use it as a moment to check your heart with God and say, maybe I misplaced some stuff and it's time to get back to where I belong. She searches carefully. The whole house, she searches carefully until she finds it. Jesus will be careful with you. He will be gentle with you. He will lead you forward like a good shepherd who loves his sheep and came to lay down his life for it. The best part of this whole thing is at the end it says that there was a party in heaven in front of the angels. Did you catch that? The angels weren't partying. Like this doesn't say that all of heaven is partying right now. It doesn't say that the angels are like fired up and like, yeah, let's go. It doesn't say that. Who would be celebrating in front of the angels? The one celebrating in front of the angels is God. It's a party, and it doesn't matter if no one else shows up. because He delights in you and He loves you. And God, you get the picture. God cannot be overwhelmed. But you get the picture of just overwhelming joy. And God doesn't care what the angels think. He's just celebrating you. When you go from lost to found, when you go from lost in the house to back where you're supposed to be, when you go from misplaced to placed, back right with Him. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your love and for this incredible parable, for taking the time to teach us it. And I pray for anybody that might be just feeling lost, misplaced, that today would be the moment they would just kind of take their eyes off everything else and just put them back on you, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our life and our faith. That they would look at you, Jesus, and the cross and the price you paid, a demonstration of your love for us, and that they would be overcome with your love. That they would look to Jesus and your resurrection, Jesus, and the hope that we can have no matter what this life throws at us, that they would just see more of you and know that you are where we are supposed to be, and that you have everything we've ever needed. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.